May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, I appreciate your patience with me this morning. I'm not very flexible, so hang in there. The sermon this morning will be relatively short. I spent a lot of time working on it, but it's still going to be a short sermon. How many of you remember my parable of the duck? One, two. Ah, good. Only two people. I figured it was time to lay it on you again. This is a parable that was worked up. It's called a duck parable. I thought I'm going to start the sermon with this. It has nothing to do with prayer or anything like that, but I thought I'd throw it in. A parable is told of a community of ducks waddling off to duck church one Sunday morning to hear the duck preacher. After they waddled into the duck sanctuary, the service began, and the duck preacher spoke eloquently of how God had given the ducks wings with which to fly. He pounded the pulpit with his beak and said, "With these wings, there is nowhere we ducks cannot go. There's no God-given task we ducks cannot accomplish. With these wings, we no longer need to walk through life. We can soar through the high through the sky." Shouts of amen were quacked throughout the duck congregation. And the duck preacher concluded his message by exclaiming, "With these wings, we can fly through life. We really can fly. We can soar." More ducks cracked loud amens in response. Every duck loved the service. In fact, all the ducks were present commented on what a wonderfully convincing message they had heard from the duck preacher. And then they left the church and waddled home. Okay. That's my duck parable. Okay. I'm glad you're here this morning. I hope you're glad. As I mentioned, my sermon will be brief, not that long. Brief because, you know, I wanted to say at the beginning of this sermon that there's no way I can be expected to completely do justice to this scripture reading. It's so rich that I could preach 100 sermons and then still feeling like I missed it. It is an account of a disciple saying to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And it begins by Jesus giving us the Lord's Prayer. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord's Prayer is preceded by these words, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows your needs before you ask him. This is how you should pray." And he goes on and gives the Lord's Prayer. Prayer is, or at least should be, a vital part of the Christian life. And yet it's frequently misunderstood, or misused, or neglected. I can recall my own life of prayers I've heard and conversations I've had about prayers. I can't help but wonder, when I was doing this sermon, this came to me. And I didn't know if it's an inspiration of God or not, but this came to me. To use the Coke machine. I don't think it was God, it was me. But to use the Coke machine, we put in the correct amount of change to make our selection, and we get what we want. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who searches finds, everyone who knocks the door will be open. So we offer the coins of our wants, our needs, and our beliefs, and our good behavior. We tell God what we want, and we expect to get it. All that works fine, wonderful, until it doesn't happen. Coke machines are great until they take your money and give you nothing, or they give you a big red instead of a Diet Coke that you ordered. And look at how we respond if you're looking at a Coke machine, and look how we respond when that happens. We get mad. We push the button again and again, hoping over and over. We kick the machine or hit it. We tip it side to side. We did our part. We expect it to do its part. It's not so different with prayer. When we pray in sincerity and nothing happens, sometimes we get angry. Some will feel hurt or betrayed. Some lose faith. We ask and receive, we search and find, we knock and the door is open. But sometimes it's not. We search, but we can't find. We knock, but the door is never opened, and we don't know why. Is God there or is God not there? I don't know the why that some prayers are answered and some prayers go unanswered. I don't have any good answers for that. But I've heard some really bad ones. I heard someone say, you didn't pray hard enough. In some days we'll understand. Well, I can neither believe or accept any of that. I don't understand how a prayer works, but I do know this. It's not about coins. It's not about a mechanical process. It's not a transaction. It's not a transmission of information to God. In the midst of not knowing or understanding, maybe the most and the best we can do is to echo what the disciples' request was, Lord, teach us to pray. We're always beginners, always learning to pray. Jesus' response to the disciple was not an explanation of prayer or how it works. He does not offer us a formula or magic words. He does not give us the correct change for the Coke machine. Instead, Jesus teaches us about who and where God is. If you forget everything else I say today, I want you to remember this. The point of prayer is not to get what you want. The point of prayer is to have a relationship with your Creator. When Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, he doesn't mean that if you pray hard enough, ask and seek and beg long enough, you'll get that car that you've always wanted. You'll win the lotto. You'll have perfect kids and no cavities. No, he doesn't mean that. When Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, he means to be relentless in your pursuit of the relationship of God. We are not telling God something that God doesn't already know. It's about what has been, what will be, and what always will be. Perhaps the greatest difficulty in prayer is sometimes that we just want something from God. But genuine prayer is not primarily about getting things from God, but it is about building a relationship with Him. If you seek personal gain, personal pleasure, personal reward, you're asking the wrong question. You're seeking the wrong answer, and you're knocking on the wrong door. But if you seek God in the quiet of the morning, in the hearing of the word, in the space between inhale and exhale, you will come to know that all is well. Praying takes courage. It takes courage to ask for help and to be real in whatever you're feeling. It takes courage to ask God to say to God, help me. I'm lonely. I'm afraid. I'm worried. Ask God to seek a new way of living when your rut that you're living in is no longer working out, when your relationships are shaky and your life feels unhinged. It takes perseverance to seek answers to questions and to find the light in the darkness. God nourishes us, strengthens us, empowers us, emboldens us, enables us to face the circumstances of life that we face. We do so, sometimes with joy and gratitude, other times with pain and sorrow, but always with God. Prayer is not beautiful words wrapped up in beautiful phrases. It is sincere praise from the heart, sometimes verbal, sometimes unspoken. It is sometimes mixed with pain and confusion, and other times with joy and praise. It is a reflection of our relationship to God. Now, I don't know how much you pray or how often you pray. I do know that it reflects your sincerity and commitment to our Lord. Now, on my better days, I know that, and that's enough. Maybe my job as a minister is not to tie up with loose ends and put a neat bow on the end of a sermon. Maybe my job as a minister is simply to challenge you to go out from here, to stretch your imagination, to stretch your Christian imagination, venture out in prayer, and above all, don't always talk, but listen. Listen to the quiet voice that speaks to you. We often think that prayer has to be have a beginning, middle, and an ending. It has to all match. With God, it doesn't matter. He knows the very depths of your heart. The secrets that you'd never reveal here with us, God knows. Things that I would never reveal to you about me, God knows. And He's forgiven me. But that God knows all. And so when we go before God, it's not the eloquence, with the beautiful words and the phrases that we put in together. I've read books on prayers, and sometimes they're really good. It's not that. It's the heart. That's where the prayer is. And prayer unspoken is powerful. Unspoken prayer is powerful. It can change things. If you don't think God can change things, then you don't know God. Sometimes when we look at the world we live in, we get discouraged. There's wars. There's people killing people. There's children starving. And the list just goes on. And we ask ourselves, okay, where is God in all this? Why doesn't He do something? Why doesn't He intervene? And God says, you're there. I did intervene. I was telling the Sunday school class about the movie Hacksaw Ridge. I don't know if you've seen that movie. It's a good movie. Let me recommend it. It's about a man who's a very, very strong pacifist, but he will go to war as long as he can heal others and bring them back. He's a medic. And so he feels God's call to go and be a medic. It's directed by Mel Gibson, and you know, if you know Mel Gibson, he can put some pretty colorful things together. The war scenes are very dramatic and very scary. This one scene, this private is out there, he's actually a Seventh-day Adventist, but he carries no weapons, but his purpose is to be there and help people. And he's in tears because he's seeing people die all around him. And he says, what am I to do? What am I to do? I don't know. He waits. He says, I can't hear you. What am I to do? Somebody says, medic, I need you. He says, ah. And there he went. That person brought down over 60 people off that hill who would have otherwise died. And he did it because he was committed. He did it because that was his thing to do in life. We have to all find our own ways. You can't do what I do, and I can't do what you do. Your family's not like my family, but I know one thing, that God is in charge. And when we go before Him and we pray for things that are deep inside us. That's what changes. When you do that, I guarantee that your life will be better. Your life will be different. So don't worry about what you have to say. Just be quiet and let God speak to you. Let us pray. It is sometimes difficult, our Father, for us to pause and to let all the hubbub and the world around us go away and to be quiet in that moment to listen to You and to hear You. You are as close to us as our breath. We hear You as we hear our heartbeat. Forgive us for neglecting our conversations with You, our closeness with You. We thank You that You never give up on us. Teach us to pray. Show us the way. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.